I get the privilege of introducing our speaker today. Name is Reverend Dr. Rose Booker Jones. She is our district superintendent here in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. I've gotten to know her a little bit over this last year or so, and two things stand out. First of all, she's done ministry in a lot of different contexts. She's told me about that, but really what stands out to me the most is that she truly cares for people. She really has the heart of a shepherd. In Christ Church, she cares for you. So if you would give her a warm welcome as she comes and brings the word.
Good morning, everyone. It is, again, a great joy to be with you today. This is an honor and a privilege. I bring you greetings. I also want to make sure I greet our Facebook congregation. Amen. God bless you, and we're so glad you're joining us today. I'm just going to get to the word. Is that all right? Amen. Our scripture text this morning is from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. And it reads, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we do love you. And as always, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to stand and share your word. I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will use me, Lord, as your servant, and you will touch the hearts of all of us that are here today. I thank you, Lord, for the pastor of this church and for their journey, Lord, their opportunity to stand on the ground that you stood on, to hear your word, to practice your love. And in all this, we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, tomorrow we will celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a man that influenced many, a man that stood for equality even to the point of death, a man who believed in God and the promises of life eternal, a man who was not ashamed in lifting up the name of Jesus. He spoke hope, life, freedom, liberty, justice, and peace. This man, a man of God who believed that our world, our nation, could change. There's a song that I love hearing, and it's entitled Waiting on the World to Change. And it's written by and sung by John Mayer. And listening to the lyrics of that song, I think about our church and our nation. Let me read the lyrics to you. He goes, me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting, waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting, waiting on the world to change. It's hard to beat the system when we're standing at a distance. So we keep waiting, waiting on the world to change. Thinking about our children, our youth and young adult that are growing up in a world that they barely understand, they too keep waiting for the world to change. We live in a world that seems to evolve faster and is yet smaller than we ever could have imagined. We have witnessed the information age, the technological age, the globalization age. We witnessed the entrepreneurial and the conservative age, but we hear little about a Christian evolution. And as the world evolves before us, many of us sit back, watch, hoping that this world will change into something better than what's happening right now. And so we sit back, waiting on the world to change. In Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he wrote, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." And although Paul was not the founder of the church in Rome, he felt a need to write them, encouraging them to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Rome was much like the world we live today, with its various cultures and forms of religion and communities of moral and ethical differences. And the world of Rome during that time, although not advanced as ours, still dealt with issues of humanity with greed and power and pride and selfishness. But that's why Paul stressed early in his letter, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This world, our world, will only change when we change. The world is comprised of individuals much like ourselves. And as long as we are deceitful and corrupt and hateful and evil, then the world will be deceitful, corrupt, hateful, and evil. We are the world. And while we're sitting waiting on the world to change, it will never change unless we change. The world will only change when we change. And not only can we change the world, we can change our own personal space. Our world of family, friends, and career, whatever evolves in your space, if your personal world is a world full of worry, you can change it. The Bible says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." If your world is full of hatred, you can change it. For God says, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." If your world is filled with distrust, you can change it. For the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and God will make your path straight. Paul says, he wrote, the best way to do that is love. But love that is sincere. From the beginning of time, God has been trying to get humanity to understand and embrace the richness of genuine love. It was God's love that breathed life into man. It was genuine love that God sacrificed his son, Jesus, to save the world. When they asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" He responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind." And he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Love is the first step in changing this world. How we treat each other plays a vital role in the world's condition. No matter who you are or where you're from, you can make a difference. Everyone desires to live in a better world. We all want that. We desire a world that treats people right. We desire a world where peace is the order of the day. We desire a world where seniors don't need to worry or fear for their lives. We desire a world where our children and youth and young adults can go to school or college and not worry about a person suffering with a mental illness or a dysfunctional student coming in and shooting up the classroom. We deserve better. We deserve a world where people of all races, all cultures, all ethnicities are treated with dignity, and women are treated with respect and worth. When God created with love in mind. Not selfish love, but an unconditional love. Love that will break down barriers and strongholds. Love that will cause the weak to rise up and the strong to lift up. A love that is not blind, but one that sees wrong and injustice and speaks out for right and justice for all people. We deserve that. In Paul's letter, he makes it clear, gives us clear instruction on how we should conduct ourselves. Paul wrote, he says, hate what is evil and hold on to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Serve the Lord with zeal and fervor. Be joyful in hope and faithful in prayer. Bless others and live in harmony. And if we were able to apply those behaviors, if we apply them in our daily lives, we wouldn't have to wait on the world to change, but we would make such an impact on the world that the world would change. How many believe that this morning? It can change. Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. A world that was created by God as an act of free grace. Not just any kind of grace, but a grace that is not earned, a grace that cannot be bargained for, a grace that cannot be bought, a grace, a free grace, a grace by God from God that is generous and welcoming. This grace of God that summons the lost, forgives the guilty, loves the unlovable, and redeems the fallen. God's grace. Hallelujah. When we take on the newness of Christ, we start the process of taking off that old nature. We take off those old habits, as painful as it may be. We take off those old attitudes, as difficult as it may be. And with a fresh start, we put on the fruit of the Spirit. We put on love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We put on the Spirit of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. I read a story about a daughter, a young girl who complained to her father one day that her life was miserable. And she didn't know how she was going to make it. And so her father took her to the kitchen, and he filled three pots with water and placed each one on a high fire. And once the three pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in one pot, eggs in the second pot, and ground coffee beans in the third pot. He then let them sit and boil without saying a word to his daughter. And of course, she became very impatient, waiting, wondering, what in the world is he doing? After around 20 minutes, he turned off the burners and he took the potatoes out of the pot and placed them in a bowl. And he pulled the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. And he ladled the coffee and poured it in a cup. Turning to his daughter, he said, what do you see? She said, I see potatoes, I see eggs, and I see coffee. He said, look closer. He said, touch the potatoes. She did and noticed that they were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it. And so after pulling off the shell, she observed a hard-boiled egg. And finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. And she did, and that rich aroma put a smile to her face. And she said, Dad, what does this mean? He then explained, he said, the potatoes, the egg, and the coffee beans each faced the same adversity, the boiling water. He said, however, each one reacted differently. The potato went in strong and hard and unrelenting, but in boiling water, it became soft and weak. He said the egg was fragile with a thin outer shell protecting its liquid interior. But when it was put in boiling water, the inside of the egg became hard. But he said the coffee beans, the ground beans, he said they were unique. After they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water, changed everything, and they created something new. He asked her, he said, which are you? When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a potato? Are you an egg? Or are you the ground coffee beans? We believe in a Messiah, in Jesus Christ, who didn't wait on the world to change, but changed the world. This Jesus changed us. We are the change that the world needs. We are the change. And as adversity presents itself in our nation and in our homes and in our streets and around the world, we become the coffee beans and we go in into adversity and we change the environment. You are the change that we need. And that's what Dr. King was pointing to. You are the ones that can change when we face adversity. You can change it. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you praise and thanks. And we thank you, God, for being the ones, for calling us to change the world. We can make a difference. And so in the name of Jesus, we ask that you will encourage us and give us the strength and the power and the ability to be the change. We are the coffee grounds. And we can change the environment. In Jesus' name, amen.